B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Man, yeah,
it's not that hard.
I'm
not saying that Tony Romo's soft, and I never would call him that. If Tony Romo wore any other jersey than a Cowboys jersey, everyone in this city will say how tough the guy is. But Carson Wentz is not a soft quarterback.
I don't know. He kind of looked it.
He played with a broken back.
Good
and
knowledge
no ligaments
there,
in his knee, JR.
Well, I'll tell you what. Give me your email, and I'll send you a picture of the fusions in my back. It's not that big a deal.
Well, I wouldn't call you soft either.
But I get up and go to work, dude.
Good for that's you. JR, good for you, man. That's great. But I'm not going to call a quarterback in the NFL play with a broken back and no ligaments in his knee. And by the way, tried to come back almost immediately after that he saw. I really do think that the opinion of Carson Wentz being soft is asinine. It's unjust. The guy had a concussion. He was mad. Any other injury, you talk about a knee, you talk about a back, you talk about maybe his ankle, whatever, but you tough it out. You get a hamstring like Josh McCown, you tough it out. But when you're talking about a guy's brain, I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, why don't you set that one out?
The best part of that call was JR's dudes. He dropped good dudes.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a good dude. I actually liked the seatbelt thing that was going off in the background. I thought that made a good point. Hey, safety first. I think that's what he was trying to remind him.
Look at me. I drive with no seatbelt. Look at that. Renegade.
By the way, I believe it was our friend Ruin today. Just had a really good suggestion as to why Julian Edelman jumped on the guy's car.
Why?
Apparently, he heard somebody saying that Edelman was a slow walker. And he jumped on the car to freak out. Word is Edelman's Uber driver said he was a slow walker and he flipped the guy. He flipped the guy's car. Go figure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Ruin today. Thank you very much. You've made my life a lot easier. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in the bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. And I got to say this, Julian Edelman, we don't know any details other than the fact that he jumped on somebody's car at 9 p.m. He's in the running for Tool of the Week. Tell you that much. I want to move past the clowny thing. I'm not going to say that the NFL is the Tool of the Week. Not going to do it.
Trey, 9:02 on Monday.
He's
going to go past this now.
I'm not going to do it. Oh, I didn't promise I'd go past it. I just promised I wouldn't call him the Tool of the Week.
Okay.
Because they're a whole bag of tools.
Baby steps, Bob. Baby steps.
Because you also see the play last night in the Packers game where, what's his face? Because Graham was like a yard short of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it was Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham was a yard short. Okay, fine. Six inches.
Half a yard.
Whatever. He was short of the
first down. He was a Nick Foles short.
He was...
Oh, jeez.
You know, I try... We just talked about Tom Brady's... Anyway, so we'll get into that later.
But the element on the top of this car, though... Was he like Rick James on Eddie Murphy's sofa?
Out of my brain.
Damn your sofa.
Screw your Mercedes. You're rich, buy a new one.
Scrubbing up the man's roof.
Or maybe he was trying to roof surf like Teen Wolf.
Yeah, that's what
we don't know. We need the details.
What was the song in Teen Wolf where he was on top of the car?
Ooh, great question. Do you know it?
No.
Ooh.
This is going to bother me because I used to really know it. Is it Surfing USA?
It might be. Our internet.
Maybe that's why.
I can't check.
That's right. We're in the prehistoric.
We're in the Stone Age.
We have no internet right now. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Let's get to Tom in Northeast Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up there, Tom?
How you doing, buddy?
You got a spin on the Jenkins quotes?
Yes, I do. Now, I want you to read. Can you read it back to me, the exact quote he said?
All right, let me go back to the record here. All right, here are the quotes from Malcolm Jenkins in Marcus Hayes' column in Inquirer.com. We played with a lot of grit the last 4 weeks. We had a lot of talent the first few weeks. If we could combine that grit with talent, we'll be right there. Jenkins also went on to say, we sometimes rely on our talent and we coast.
Yes, I think y'all are looking over. It's definitely Harry Roseman, and I'm going to tell you why.
Ooh.
He's basically telling you that the team showed grit. But guess what? When our players got hurt, who didn't bring us talent? Who didn't go after a wide receiver? Who didn't bring a better corner?
Ooh.
And also, I feel like he's in a contract dispute with him since last offseason. So he's putting him on the spot. He did not bring in talent. Yes, we did show grit. We made the playoffs. We fought. But Harry Roseman sat back and let practice players come up. not saying that the practice players didn't do great. But Harry Roseman, you should have went after a better wide receiver and better corners. Bring better players in front of me, and I guarantee we would have been in the Super Bowl.
Tom, I like it. Tom. I like it.
Tom, this is a standing ovation. People on Twitch, I don't even know if we have Twitch because we don't have the internet right now. But I am giving you a standing ovation, Tom. And you know what? I want to give you something else besides a standing ovation. You like college hoops?
Yes, I do.
You're damn right you do. You know what? Why don't you go see Temple battle Wichita State on Wednesday, January 15th at 9 o'clock at the Leah Core Center. Enjoy unlimited hot dogs, popcorn, and soda, plus a game ticket for only $22. Visit owlsticks.com. Tom, that's a great point. Thanks for the call. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get your info. And I'm going to sit down right now because I'm winded. So here's the thing.
You got to go on more walks.
I got to go on more walks. Here's the thing. If there's one person you could say coasted this year, like in all seriousness, it's Howie Roseman. Players fought. Most of them. Doug Peterson, he changed things up last 4 weeks of the season. They won, and the next thing you know, they're in the postseason. They win the division. Where was Howie? Like, we were joking.
He hit all year.
We were joking going into, like, the press conference was more of a debacle than we even were joking about that it could have been going into that press conference. Like, it was worse than what we were joking about going into it. Like, well, I thought the first question would be like, hey, Howie, where you been? Like, that would be the first question, because Howie was invisible this year. We had said, and we've talked about this so many times, from Clowney to Jannard Avery, it was like, Howie, where are you? All the moves that got made. The only move that was made was Jannard Avery coming to Philadelphia. The only one that Howie made, other than that, it was like re-signing Jordan Matthews, re-signing Jay Ajayi, who, by the way, told me last week that he still wants to play in the NFL. Only 26 years old.
Yeah.
And I've said that I think he's done for a while, but, you know, more power to him. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
But Howie, like, hit softballs this year for a guy that we're used to seeing hit home runs. He was, like, lobbing them up. Like, Jordan Matthews, a guy that you knew really well. Jay Ajayi, a guy that you knew really well. None of these other guys, like, you didn't make any aggressive moves to make this team better this year through all the injuries. You didn't make any moves to make this team better. Jannard Avery, hey, maybe it pans out down the line. But as of right now, you had a team that was 9-7. You had a team that lost in the first round of the playoffs, 17-9, and you couldn't do anything to make them just a little bit better? Yeah. Nothing was done this year to make this team better. Howie is the one guy you can look at and go, yeah, from start to finish, from week one to the first round of the playoffs, he coasted. Like, really, he's the one guy you could say, yeah, absolutely coasted.
Yeah.
I don't think Malcolm Jenkins is calling out Howie Roseman.
No.
But that's an interesting theory as to why he might have been. I still think he's talking about his teammates.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely talking about his teammates. As a player, you're not thinking about what the GM is doing. You're looking at what's going on around you in the locker room and within the coaching staff. So, I mean, as a player, I mean, if you're thinking all the way upstairs to the GM, then, I mean, you know, there's something totally, something way different going on.
Did you guys get the feeling like I did after Howie's press conference last week that he was kind of like, well, we won in 17. I wanted to take a look, hopefully revisit, you know, that team could maybe win another one over the next couple of years. And that's why he didn't do anything this year. And now it's time to rebuild, because now he has all these draft picks.
Definitely
and all.
Something to that's that. Zach,
right?
Zach Berman basically said that last week with us, that this was the 2-year window to push all in while still keeping 3 years in mind. So, yeah, I think there is validity to
so
that.
Here's the dangerous thing, though. Now you have Wentz's money kicking in, going in, you know, 2020 is when he starts really making that $107.9 million. The Rams tried to load up before they had to pay Jared Goff, and that led to a Super Bowl berth, but not a Super Bowl victory.
Yeah.
And then a very disappointing year this year.
Well, luckily for Howie, because I do believe Howie is this thoughtful when it comes to the cap. You know, you have Jason Peters' money coming off. You have both Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod and Ronald Darby's money coming off. You have potential outs coming up with Zach Ertz, not saying that they should do that. But there is some flexibility coming up with the cap, and I think Howie definitely had that in mind.
And that's a lot of overhaul that you just talked about, right? Two names right there.
Oh,
just
totally.
Ertz and Jenkins.
And I think Jenkins and McLeod are most likely going to be back unless they draft some high capital in a safety. But when you look at Les Snead, I don't think Les Snead had the same cap intentions that Howie did.
Okay. Mm. So then you're also looking at Jason Peters. And that's why I say Jason Peters in no way, shape, or form can come back next year.
No, I don't think so.
Like, that just sounds impossible to me.
But this is what we talked about with Jeffrey Lurie getting hands-on and more involved ever since the Chip Kelly era. Jeffrey Lurie is good friends with Jason Peters.
Yeah.
You know, does he have the cojones to say, hey, Jason, thank you for your time here. We're done.
You know who else he's good friends with? Howie Roseman. And I'm hoping that Howie Roseman will actually have his ear on this and be like, look, if you want this team to work out financially, we can't be paying a left tackle after we just drafted a left tackle with our number one pick.
Yeah.
Like that's wasted money. That's lighting Benjamins on fire.
Yeah. I hope they have the balls to have that conversation because it needs to be had.
Where's Kelce on everything?
Still nothing.
Okay.
He was hanging out with Connor Barwin this weekend watching his brother play.
Oh, okay.
That's all I know. They look like an awesome outdoor living room area with a fireplace and a TV.
Yeah.
It looked baller.
Whose place was it?
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
And my internet sleuth detecting.
It looked like
a good time.
Let's get to Warren at Cherry Hill. Hey, Warren.
Morning, boys.
Hey, buddy.
I got to ask you a couple things with this whole thing because it's both Peterson, it's both Howie, and I'll show you why. As far as those guys quitting, this is why Peterson can't be both offensive or at least can't call plays and be a head coach. Because obviously when he thought they were being that lazy, when he put the pads on, it was too late. I just don't think it's possible. In the NFL, these are the best in the world at what they do. I just don't see how a coach can take both sides. It's two jobs. You can't do two jobs. Let me ask something. Isn't it very hard to be a head coach? And isn't it very next to impossible to be a great head coach?
Yes.
All right. So what makes it that he can do both? I got to tell you, people kept complaining about that, the press conference. I really only care what happens on the field. I'm not one of those guys who hang my head on press conference. Guys say things a lot of times like Jenkins just said. I'm not one of these guys go, oh, the media makes something of it. No, your job is when they say something to run with it. The second, they're the ones who have to watch what they say more. I had no problem with Lurie did. Peterson, the best two assistants he had were the ones given to him. I can't accept that this man is that conceited that he thinks he can do the job of two people when it's impossible. There's not enough hours in a week. So if you tell me these guys, like Jenkins says, they got soft or they didn't play as hard, I think if he paid more attention to that, he would have seen it. I think Peterson's greatest attribute, and we all saw it, his greatest thing is as a leader.
Uh-huh.
He's got those guys that run through brick walls, whether it was the Super Bowl year or this year, or even last year when they beat the Bears. I just think it's silly to think he can do both jobs. And why did Lurie do what he did? Well, let me ask something. He didn't make a mistake with Andy, but he went as far as he could. And then he tried to do it again with Chip Kelly. So what's that all saying? Burn me once, shame on me.
Right.
He has to do this. Those guys were not adequate coaches. And if Peterson wants to keep his job, and I think he's one of the best head coaches in the NFL, but I think you've got to relinquish something to at least get an outside voice. I don't want him as our offense coordinator.
Yeah.
The game is different. I want fresh blood in his ear saying maybe this, maybe that. Hey, Peterson can have final say, but when I hear these guys saying maybe they're in players' heart, that means that Peterson didn't do his job because he's too worried about doing both things.
All right, so
fresh blood in here.
Warren, so would you go Jim Caldwell or would you go younger than that?
I'd be a liar to say I know his history, but if he's got a very good offensive mind, I don't really care young or not. Look at the kid in L.A. They gave all these accolades. If I'm not mistaken, I read where he's giving up the play calling. I want a guy who's going to bring different. The NFL is now a passing league. I love our running backs, but no matter what they try to say, even when Carson was getting those numbers, look at Kansas City did yesterday. They're down 24-0. And this is 10 minutes ago in the second quarter. And before the half is over, they're winning. That's not going to happen every time. But Kansas City doesn't have any running backs that scare you. They got a great quarterback. And hey, do you think Carson Wentz is not in the same league as this kid? I just think it's a different league. And Doug's got to see this. You've got to get a fresh set of eyes. And honestly, Howie, you know what? I'm giving him his kudos because of the 1 year. But listen, they didn't think they were going to go as far this year. What did Ramsey do? He went to the Rams. They didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. It's tough mid-year. I just think he's got to do a better job at drafting.
Look at the last three.
Bottom.
Drafts.
That's the Warren. That, you're absolutely right. Thanks for the comment. That's the bottom line, no doubt. Now, the Jim Caldwell statement is for. I don't think Jim Caldwell will come here because the play calling is Doug Peterson's, and I don't see that changing. I don't see that changing even a little bit. The hope of Jim Caldwell coming here would be that he wouldn't call plays, but at least he would go on an offense where he has a quarterback he could have success with. He can look good, and then he could play that into being a head coach again. He spent this past season, I believe, with the Dolphins, I think.
Yeah.
And then he was with the Lions prior to that, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that likes to call plays, though.
For those unfamiliar with him, his track record with quarterbacks, and that's why I want him as opposed to like a Deuce Staley. I want a outside the franchise quarterback specific offensive coordinator. If you look at him, the year he came in with Baltimore, he was only there 1 year. He came in, I believe, after a couple games. I believe that was the year the Ravens went on to win three straight road playoff games and win the Super Bowl. And a lot of that was Joe Flacco's best season ever under Jim Caldwell. Then he went to Detroit, where Matthew Stafford had some newfound great success during his two or three years there.
Including post-Megatron, by the way.
Yeah, and then prior to all that, he worked with Peyton Manning. So maybe Peyton taught him some things. And then just look at him this past year with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm. That's a guy that Carson Wentz would listen to.
Yeah.
Not to say that Carson just pushes everybody aside, but that's a guy that would carry some weight with what he said.
And I think he's a guy that will cater offenses or scheming or play calling, whatever you want to call it, to the strengths of the quarterback, which I think is the most important thing.
I think this hire is real interesting because
very important.
Doug Peterson had his best season when he obviously had he had an equal as his offensive coordinator, right? I think Frank Reich was pretty much his equal. He leaves, he takes head coaching position, and they promote within, kind of a nobody. Is that Doug just saying, like, no, I need to be in charge of this?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. So now, can Doug maybe drop his ego enough to say, you know what? No, I need that, like, equal with me again now. Could it be a Todd Haley? You know, could it be, who Jamie was saying, could it be anybody of an equal status, kind of, as a Doug Peterson? Would he be able to accept it? Because if you hire kind of a young gun and stuff, to me, that's Doug saying, oh, I'm still in charge. I'll get somebody in here, but I'm still in charge.
I don't think Doug's that guy.
Maybe not.
I could be wrong.
Yeah,
but my perception is that he's not that guy.
I just think he's a head coach in the NFL, and it's hard to find guys that aren't that guy.
But I think to be a good head coach, you have to surround yourself with a great staff. I mean, look at Bill Belichick. You know, his staff is usually always top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the best need a good supporting cast.
Because you're only as good as your staff.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't care how good you are as a head coach. You're only as good as your staff.
Doug can't work with every position, every group, and every room all the time. You need to trust your guys are doing what you believe in or needs to be done.
See, another interesting thing about Caldwell is not only is he coming out as a quarterback's coach in Miami, he was also the assistant head coach there as well.
Yeah, which is Deuce's title here.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, as much as I hate to say it, if a guy like Caldwell comes in here, I think Deuce has to go elsewhere.
Maybe, but I think the reason Caldwell would consider here is because of the success he can have. You look at Carson Wentz and you go, oh, damn.
Yeah,
he's my ticket to a next head coaching gig.
Where is Press Taylor in all this? The actual quarterback's coach? And I'm not knocking Press Taylor. I'm just saying we're talking about a guy coming in to help Doug Peterson, a quarterback, and help Carson Wentz, a guy that could get to an elite level of quarterback, and we're talking about, like, coaching him up.
Yeah.
Like, what about his quarterback coach, Press Taylor? Again, young guy, not a lot of experience in the NFL. You're bringing a guy like Caldwell in there, has worked with great names that Jamie rattled off there, Peyton Manning being one of them. And, yeah, you would have a guy that would carry a lot of weight with what he said. Let's get to Curtis in Logan. What's up, Curtis?
Hello, good morning.
Hey, man.
First, Carson Wentz. He's the best quarterback in the league. He's not soft. Look what we did. Doug Peterson, he was the greatest thing on earth when we won the Super Bowl. Now we out of the playoffs because we 9-7. He got them guys to give him everything. Remind me of Blue Chips with Nick Nolte when he said, my best team was the 9-7 team because they gave me everything. These Eagles gave us everything.
Nick Nolte. Yes, sir.
Michael Jenkins said, our talent made us close. That's right. But look what all our weapons out. We still only lost by a cheap shot. If they ain't take Carson Wentz out, we'd have won. That's all I got to say.
All right.
Good man, Curtis.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I don't think it's all because of Howie Roseman by any means. There's a lot that went wrong with this season. But when it just comes to the Malcolm Jenkins question, or the statement, I should say, from the Inquirer.com story by Marcus Hayes, We asked the question on our Twitter poll, who is Jenkins criticizing here? We sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. Doug Peterson teammates or Howie Roseman, right now it's 73% saying that yes, in fact, it is his teammates that he's talking about. Let's get to Tom and Ambler. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I think Howie does a pretty good job. I mean, we had Golden Tate and whatever happened to Mike Wallace? I don't even think we ever even saw any time.
He got injured in...
Broke his leg.
Yeah,
right?
In either the last game of the preseason or the first game of the regular season, and he never really played.
And we didn't get our best out of Golden Tate. I mean, he's you know, as good as anybody. And
Tom, I was out on Mike Groh from the minute he said it was hard to incorporate Golden Tate in the offense.
Yeah, and as far as Carson goes, I think we just need to get a real decent backup because his style, he's not soft, but his style of play, he always fights and scraps for that extra couple of inches, and he's kind of like Cam Newton. He takes a lot of shots, and then, you know, we get frustrated when we don't get the call or he gets hurt, and I don't mind him playing aggressive, but we have to be prepared for that and get somebody that can come right in after him. That way he doesn't have to change, but we have somebody decent. I wouldn't mind getting a better quarterback to, you know, to back up. What do you think?
No, I think we all would like to. Thanks for the call, Tom. I think we'd all like to see a better backup, but Josh McCown's not the reason they lost in the playoffs. And not having Nate Sudfeld get out there as a backup quarterback throughout the entire season when he was inactive for, I think, all but two games this season, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the reason they lost. It's a weird story that has now cropped up. Where we're talking about backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it can come down to it, and it certainly did in 2017, but that should not be the reoccurring theme for what's wrong with your team, is that your backup quarterback's not good enough.
You know how many times Mahomes was sacked this year?
I don't.
17.
I was going to say something really low. I was gonna say
17 sacks. They only gave up 25 sacks.
And I was
going to
say 27, like, yeah, as a low number.
17 sacks. You know how many times Carson was sacked? 37 times. 38 with the one sack.
Was it Dak and Patrick Mahomes that were the two fewest? Well, I mean, also, Patrick Mahomes missed, like, what, three games?
He missed two games.
Two games.
And then during those two games, the quarterback up was sacked eight times, but...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so I mean, because 37 compared to 17.
That's pretty amazing.
I don't know. I just threw that out there.
Not a good number.
No, that's a hell of a number.
Yeah.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we have a feel-good story from over the weekend that we got to get out there. It might even be our big sexy report by the end of the week. Who knows? And also, we got to talk up a little bit of our cornhole tournament coming up on January 31st, Toll Man Joe's, Friday before the Super Bowl. You can come party with us. We got great prizes from Parks Casino. We got great prizes, phenomenal prizes by Steven Singer Jewelers. We're going to have a mind reader there. Maybe we should talk to this mind reader. I don't know if they could do it without being in the same room. Bob's like, no, I don't want to talk to this guy.
I read my mind.
Can you read a mind by watching TV? Can you read that person's mind, or you have to be in the room with them?
I have no idea.
I think you would have to be in the room to pick up the vibes.
Right? I think you would have to.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him watch the Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman press conference debacle.
Oh, that's a good
one. Just kind of get their real thoughts.
Oh, I like that.
I think we should...
I hate you. I hate you too.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Why do we have only one microphone?
Yeah.
I think that would be, that's what we should kind of get into.
This water bottle tastes funny.
Shouldn't have taken this ecstasy before this press conference.
Just want to twirl this around on my lips. This texture on this bottle cap is amazing.
610-632-0975. We got Bobby in Fountain Hill. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time at the Fanatic 923.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Going the way of the dodo.
Dodo bird?
Yeah.
It's not my favorite bird.
It's going the way of the dodo.
Yeah, they're extinct, right?
I thought you said something else.
Well, I like the red-footed and blue-footed boobies of the Galapagos Islands. It's my favorite bird in the bird power rankings.
I'm sorry, what was that?
That's where the Fanatic's from, right?
The booby birds. Yes, the Fanatic is from there.
The Galapagos
Islands.
You have the red-footed and the blue-footed boobies.
Yeah. What, Mark? Why are you...
Slightly ahead of the dodo.
They're birds.
Yes. But when is one extinct? Wait, is the boobies extinct?
No. I saw them.
Alive and well?
Oh, they're thriving.
The plentiful?
The boobies are thriving in the Galapagos.
Yeah, they, you know, when you see pictures of them walking around, they're like, they're perky.
They're living their best life down there.
They really are.
Huh, that's awesome.
But apparently the Galapagos giant tortoise was going to be extinct.
Yeah, I saw them. My wife crawled in one of their shells. I have a hilarious picture of Addie in a giant tortoise shell.
Wait, you guys went to the Galapagos?
Yeah.
Take the family helicopter down there?
My sister was doing a service trip in Guayaquil.
Oh, that's
right.
So
we went and visited her, and we kind of hijacked her for a little vacation, and we went out to the Galapagos.
Is it true you thought all those people were your loyal subjects? Just kidding. All right. So a friend of mine went down there.
She's there for booby research.
With your wife.
Yeah. She likes boobies, too.
What you guys do. Anyway. So a 100-year-old Galapagos giant tortoise is retiring. And I know a turtle could do that, but he's retiring.
Well, he deserves to after you see what he did.
Yeah. He basically saved his species.
Yeah. My work here is done.
He doesn't even say fathered these little turtles. Siring some 800 babies.
Wow.
Now, when a tortoise gives babies or birth or whatever, that's like 100 babies, right? Don't they lay like a billion babies? Is that the deal?
Yeah, they more than one for sure.
Okay.
Like several. I don't know if it's in the hundreds, but definitely. But I would say, if I had to guess, I'd say 22.
Okay, so he's a 100. So he's a 100-year-old Galapagos giant tortoise that single-handedly has saved his own entire species. His name is Diego.
That's awesome.
Which is James. Which is a great lover.
That's my tortoise.
That's your.
That's my tortoise, James.
Skylar doesn't know she has 700 brothers and sisters. Diego is the father of 800, 40% supposedly of the population of giant tortoises
now.
Can you imagine?
That's wild.
Wasn't that a Vince Vaughn movie? Delivery Man?
Yes. Where he was the sperm donor.
Yeah, exactly.
And all the kids like found out who the dad was and met up with him or something.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, let's just say doomsday scenario. And you walk outside your house one day, and you're just like, where is everybody? And then, like, a horde of doctors come up, and they're like, oh, Jamie, thank God with Trey. Thank God we found you. What's going on? The whole species is being extinct. We need you to have more sex.
We need your seed.
Well, if I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
For the good of the people.
Point me in the right direction. I'll do my due services.
You had to be thinking Diego with some of those lady tortoises is like, yeah, I don't want to, no.
Not her.
Not into her, man. We had this thing back in the day. You know, I'm 100. When I was 20, this girl wouldn't stop calling me. You had to think that had to come up at some point. But anyway,
I believe when I was there, congrats to Diego. When I was there, I believe it was George, the giant tortoise, was the guy on display.
Was he getting busy?
Probably.
Was it Jorge?
Mm-hmm. No. It might have been.
I mean, I'm just saying. It might have been Jorge. But good for...
Gorgeous George, I believe his name was. Yeah, he was the man.
We should have the Philly Fanatic on to confirm these reports.
He might be able to talk to you about the booby bird knowledge.
Philly Fanatic would be like, yeah, I went home to visit my mom and it won't stop making this noise. Next door, it was Diego.
Have you ever seen a turtle fornicating?
Yes.
Because I have.
And I swear to God,
it's disturbing.
We visit zoos quite often because our son Tommy loves going to the zoo.
All right.
I swear to God they know we're coming. The tortoises.
They get extra horny that day?
It must be something in Donna's perfume or something. I don't know.
Donna.
But man, as soon as we get there, they mount.
They see you putting on your body lotion, Bob, and they get all hot and bothered.
I don't know what it is, but those tortoises get busy.
I just like the idea of Addy crawling inside an actual size
tortoise.
I'll
take out the picture. It's hilarious. They're monsters, though. They really are.
Bobby in Fountain Hill. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, so I just want to let you guys know. First of all, Mark, I don't know. I called him before. I'm a friend with your cousin. Not the freaky one. The principal.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah, my cousin Will. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So,
although I will say this, Will was sitting at the table with me when the cousin speech was happening. Yeah.
When you guys talked about it, I texted him and I said, was it that bad? And he said, worst speech ever.
Which also made it the greatest speech ever. But yeah, Bobby, what's on your mind about Jenkins today, brother?
Well, what I want to say is I don't know that now. So real quick. So Will is a Redskins fan, you know.
Yeah.
My best friend, my brother growing up, is a Giants fan. My wife's an Eagles fan. My dad's a Cowboys fan. So as somebody who gets to just sit back and look at the NFC East, I'm a floater. So as somebody who gets to sit back and just look at the NFC East and everything, what I want to say about Malcolm Jenkins was I don't know if he was really saying any specific person. I think he was just kind of saying overall because – think of it. If the Eagles, if Carson and Lane and everybody can stay healthy, and I'm not saying these were like fake injuries, you know,
right.
He got a concussion, Lane had the high ankle sprain. Like, if the Eagles can stay healthy, as somebody who looks back and just kind of watches the NFC East, all the teams, all these years, you guys, the Eagles are ready to go back to those early years in the 2000s when they were running the table. I really think if they can stay healthy, and I get what you're saying about Doug and maybe taking some, like, maybe getting a young guy in. I don't think the Eagles have that much to work on, to tell you the truth. If they stay healthy, if the Eagles stay healthy, I think the Eagles run the NFC East.
Yeah, I feel.
The next couple of years.
Yeah, but I hear you, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. It's like. I feel like a lot of NFL teams can say that, but injuries are going to happen. And here's where, Trey, I will go with you on this, man. It is football. Like, regardless of how much easier, less dangerous they want to attempt to make the game, it's still football.
Yeah, something's still going to happen. Yeah.
And regardless of play design, regardless of really just how the season goes, injuries are going to happen. I mean, what was it, 2013, 2014? One of the reasons the Eagles had such a great season was because the offensive line stayed healthy all year. It was the only offensive line in all football that had everybody healthy for all 16 games.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of their best regular seasons. That's a rarity.
Yes,
injuries are going to happen no matter what. Frank in Phoenixville, what's up?
Hey,
Frank.
One of the players that I think that Malcolm Jenkins might have been talking about was kind of just coasting on talent. I think Roddy McLeod was really bad this year about the safety help. I think that the corners this year looked really bad, but when I watch all these big plays that get broken around them, when I'm looking at it, every time that one of these big plays that breaks for a touchdown, I watch every one of them turn and stare at Roddy McLeod, who's chasing 5 yards after the play, going, where's our safety help? I mean, that's his job, is to protect against those big plays. And I think that for someone that is in a contract year and has played well for us for years now, I think that he had an extremely disappointing season. And I think even though our secondary looked bad, I think that he was really the thing that made these corners look worse than they were.
Maybe. I mean, you do bring up an interesting point because Rodney McLeod was trailing on so many of those plays, and we saw a good amount of missed tackles this year. He could have been. And you know what? I think our previous caller was right as well, and I think you said something along these lines as well, Frank. Thanks. I appreciate the phone call. Really, there's a lot of blame to go around. Maybe he is just doing an all-encompassing, everybody kind of sucked. Like, we all tried to believe that we were a more talented team, but we all coasted. Maybe it's not just one individual. Maybe it's not Howie. Maybe it's not Doug. Maybe it's not Roddy McLeod. It's all-encompassing, which would make the most sense because you can't just point at one thing and say, oh, well, that's why they lost this game. Because even as you went down the depth chart with injuries, guys had opportunities to make plays and did not make the play.
There's definitely a frustration there with Malcolm Jenkins because, as we all know, and those of us that have been in media and those of us that read stories of what players say, they never, very, very rarely say fully what they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be dribs and drabs, and this column by Marcus reeked of it.
Okay.
That I think Malcolm Jenkins has a lot to say or has a lot of feelings, and he barely scratched the surface.
It'll be interesting if they don't bring him back, what he's got to say.
Oh, Malcolm Jenkins?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because you would get the real story. And I believe Amazon was filming that All or Nothing show this year, weren't they?
Yeah, that sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to watch next year.
Malcolm Jenkins, Jimmy Butler 2.0?
I don't think he'd stoop that low, but he definitely, he'd have some educated, veiled statements.
You watch, it'll come out. What's wrong with that team?
Have you watched the All or Nothing series?
I have not.
I watched the one on the Arizona Cardinals. It's pretty awesome.
Okay.
Because it's basically a Hard Knocks that just is in the season.
In the season, right.
Yeah, it's very cool.
All right, we got Mission East Windsor coming up. And then, Jamie, I know you're mulling this over. Have you decided on your bet tonight?
Yeah, I think I'm locked in.
Okay. Yeah. All right, can we get that on the other side?
Absolutely.
All right, here we go. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. If you want to get on the final segment right now, we got Mitch and East Windsor open lines after that. Time of the Fanatic, 941.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I got my swagger back.
All right, coming up, we'll get Jamie's pick for tonight. Now, you're picking a game, and do you have another prop? Where are you going with here for tonight? Pick-wise,
is it two bets? No, I'm just going to go one.
Just go one.
I'm up from this weekend, so I figured out the amount where I can still be up a decent amount and where I could go for the kill.
He's up this weekend, folks.
Yeah.
Going back to the Galapagos.
I cannot decide on a team here because LSU, I think Joe Burrow is honestly having perhaps maybe the best season a college quarterback has ever had.
Okay.
He's been that good. On the other hand, Trevor Lawrence has never lost a game in college. So I can't really make up my mind on this. Clemson has the number one defense in the country. LSU has the number 14 team defense in the country. It's a home game for LSU. They're currently at 5.5. I just can't pick.
Mm.
So I've decided I'm just going to play the over of 68.5. I'm hoping for 69. That would be a win.
Nice. Very nice.
And I'm going to put my feet up and just try and enjoy the game and not care who wins, not deal with the spread at all, and I'm just going to play the over. As Big Cat from Barstool says, life is too short for unders.
There you go.
So there you have it.
Mitch in East Windsor.
So fade me and play the under.
Gotcha. What's up, Mitchie Poo?
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good, man.
Some pretty bad upsets there over the weekend. Now, Andy Reid has no excuse to get into the Super Bowl. And I love to see KC in San Francisco. Let's keep Aaron Rodgers just one more Super Bowl win than Dan Marino.
Mm-hmm.
That's not asking for too much, right?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
And you think the Eagles will get a hold of a big running back like Henry there. Is Fournette a free agent? The guy out of Jacksonville, is he a free agent or is any... The
I don't know if he's a free agent. To
he's
be
hurt
honest,
too much.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of injury history.
He'd fit in well with the injuries.
Oh, very fine. All right, Big Daddy. You have a nice one.
You too, buddy.
Thanks, man.
How did you go with Mitchie Poo, though?
I've been talking to him for years.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he's been a regular caller of mine for probably as long.
That was a nickname before you hit town.
All right.
For Mitch Williams.
Yeah.
Phillies pitcher.
Mitchie Poo.
He had a base Callis. Hit at 4 o'clock in the morning in a doubleheader one time with raining on, and Harry Callis was so bleary-eyed that he called him Mitchie Poo, and it stuck.
Mitchie Poo. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Sam, do you have a final for us on our Twitter poll?
What's going on? This got weird.
Today we asked, who is Malcolm Jenkins criticizing here when he said, we sometimes rely on our talent and we coast. Doug Peterson, teammates, or Howie Roseman? We had just under 1,800 votes. Teammates ran away with it with 74%.
Wow. Look at that. Look at that. Thank you very much, Sam. Do you have a takeaway? Oh, who brings us a fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation, take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
I'm going with Clemson tonight. I love Trevor Lawrence.
You just like those locks.
No, I'm not. I don't find him attractive. I just like his persona.
I thought he said
and
rocks.
I've always liked Clemson ever since I found out B-Dawg went there.
There you go. Jimmy Litch.
My takeaway of the day is I think Bob and Donna Cooney bring the horniness out of turtles at the zoo.
About that.
What are you guys doing, man?
Mark, do your peacock sound.
Somebody to know and the tortoise to prosper.
It would have been perfect there.
A guy, Christopher, tweeted in and said, when Bob and Donna are at the zoo, Bob leans over when they're at the tortoise display and says, game recognizes game, Donna.
Bob Cooney.
First take is that Jamie's an idiot. Second take is that... 1917 got nominated for an Oscar, Best Picture. So, in lieu of that, I'm going to go to the movies on Saturday night.
You'll like it, Bob.
Are you going to break the streak?
I am breaking the streak.
Wow. Since 1998, Robert Cooney has not been to the movies.
That's right.
Wow.
Adam Sandler
Saturday
got hosed.
Saturday night.
No nomination for The Sandman.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoop-a-doo-doo. All right, sorry. Trey Thomas.
All right, LSU, let's go get it, baby. This is where teams bring their dreams to be killed.
My takeaway of the day. I almost missed that. Thank you. My takeaway of the day is, kids, when you're going to the movies, and Bob, maybe you follow this as well, don't eat too much buttered popcorn. You will go home and throw up, and then you will puke and rally like Sam and still go out with your FIFA-playing boyfriend. Boom.
True story.
There you go. Or girlfriend. I don't know. Have a great day, everybody. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.